Shalom.
Hello. We are reading in Kabbalah for the Student on page 314, the article, When a Person Knows What is Fear of the Creator. Article 35. You can send questions to Kab.tv or... So reading from Kabbalah for the Student, page 314, article 35, When a Person Knows What is Fear of the Creator, from the writings of Rabash. In the portion, Vayit Hanan, the Holy Zohar writes, afterwards, in particular, meaning that when a person knows what fear of the Creator is, when he attains the quality of Malchut herself, which is fear out of love, the essence and the basis of love of the Creator. This fear makes him keep all the mitzvot, the commandments of the Torah, so a person is a loyal servant of the Creator as it should be. End quote. We should understand what it means when he says, when he attains the quality of Malchut herself, which is fear out of love. It means that since he has been rewarded with Malchut herself, she is regarded as love, and that love causes him fear. But why does love cause him fear? And also, we should understand what is fear once he has been rewarded with love. We should interpret this according to what I heard that Baal HaSulam interpreted about the verse, and there was a quarrel between the herdsmen of Abram's cattle and the herdsmen of Lot's cattle. Abraham is called the father of faith, whose work was based entirely on faith above reason, without any support, meaning something to support the entire building that he was going to build in his life. He went wholeheartedly and precisely through faith above reason, he could approach the Creator when he saw only this as life's purpose. To be rewarded with dvikut, adhesion with the Creator, within reason, he saw that his mind mandated otherwise. For wherever he turned, he saw contradictions in providence, in how the Creator behaves with the creatures. Then he understood that the Creator wants him to serve him precisely above reason. He understood that if the way of within reason was better suited for bringing man to dvekut with the Creator would certainly behave differently, for who will tell you what to do? Rather, he believed that he has no other way but to go above reason, and that the Creator did so deliberately because precisely this way is to man's benefit. Therefore, he decided that he wanted to serve the Creator specifically above reason. This means that if he can attain his guidance within reason, he will oppose it because he regarded his work above reason, and that this was more certain, then his aim would be only to bestow contentment upon the Creator. But what could he do if he saw that his guidance dressed him within reason, and he no longer had the option of going above reason because everything was revealed to him? Baal HaSulam explained that when he saw some disclosure of light and abundance appearing to him, he did not say about it that now he was happy, that he will no longer have to go above reason, because this is work to which the body does not agree, for the body enjoys more if it has some support on which to rely. That is, on which basis is his entire effort built? And all the buildings that man builds are founded on the intellect, meaning that the intellect compels him that he must do so. For this reason, where the intellect cannot say that everything he does is fine, it is certainly difficult for him to walk this way. Therefore, where he has a chance to attain something within reason, he promptly throws his foundation of above reason and begins to work on a new basis, built on the intellect. Then he has support on which his labor can rely, and he no longer needs the help of the Creator. Because it is difficult to go above reason, he always needs the help of the Creator to have the strength to go above reason. But now that the mind is telling him, now that you have the support of the mind and reason, you can advance alone, without the help of the Creator, and attain what there is to attain. Then his advice, when he said, "Now I see that the real way is to go specifically above reason, because precisely by going above reason, a way that pleases the Creator, I was now rewarded with nearing the Creator." The evidence of this is now that he feels a taste for the work of the Creator, both in Torah and in prayer. It follows that he does not take being rewarded with nearing the Creator and feeling the love of the Creator as a basis for the work, meaning support for the work of the Creator, since the intellect necessitates that it is worthwhile to keep Torah and mitzvot, and he no longer needs to go with faith above reason. Rather, he is careful not to bring flaw to the faith, meaning to accept the way of within reason and to throw away the faith.
It works out that the more advanced he is, it becomes more difficult. He needs to renew each time the faith above reason. And the love and reason that he acquires truly become an obstacle for him. They become an obstacle. So how can a person, when he's wanting to continue onwards, how does he overcome the faith above reason that he acquired and the love that he acquired and moves ahead in above reason and towards the new love? How does that not weaken him? That's a question. Please. Well, Gershon.
The question is, how does a person that inherited the attainment, how does he continue to keep going above reason? It doesn't weaken what he attained and his ability to advance. Now, it seems to me that there are completely different kelim here that a person works with, and perhaps a new experience, maybe a combination of the two.
Maybe it's simple, like physical exercise. You can lift 10 kilos today, and so you move to 15 kilos. It doesn't actually weaken you. It makes you stronger that you're lifting heavier weights.
This weakens you. This weakens your ego. The whole deal here is what is strengthened is your understanding. Your ego is strengthened in the fact that it needs to go above reason. So the ego is weakened. He has no ability to adapt to this, to work with it. But specifically, the man becomes stronger. Adam.
He could really take a place to a place where he starts moving to like a technical manner where he just goes through something and that's it. He just works above reason from the experience he acquired. I think that if a true lack is revealed and he's working, then he will still have to make that leap and do the work above reason. It won't help him. It's a matter of the deficiency and the new of youth that is revealed and how much they are greater relative to the previous degree.
Yep. And on the face of lifting weights, here you're being told you have no chance. It's not that it adds difficulty, it adds a revelation of his inability, how much he can't do it, how I can do it, and you're hearing all the time, listen, it's not worth lifting this, you can't do it, believe me. But here, without the environment that holds you in faith above reason, you have to keep reinvesting in it. Otherwise, you have no motivation to do it.
There's no way. It doesn't weaken. We're doing the same work to the end of correction. We will always experience Shimon of the market. We will always go lower to the lowest and rise back up again. The scrutinies, and I think the difference is just in our awareness. There's a process of awakening from the state we're in, and there's more understandings and proper discernments and scrutinies and more awareness of what we're doing, but we're always weakened before the next degree.
Yep. So there's nothing to suspect. I mean, there's no doubt that the ego will just grow. We need to grow in love and the faith that we get, and we need to see how we amplify them. Whether it's weakened or not, the ego will come and it'll bring the work, and we'll have to overcome every time anew.
I understand from this question that the person already revealed the creator, and now he has to kind of go above reason then. Yes, how can a person who wants to continue onwards overcomes the faith and love that he acquired and moves ahead without weakening above reason? We're talking already about some kind of annulment from a place that... Rav, if I was in a certain state and a certain aviyut was revealed, rejection, disturbances, weaknesses, and I were to overcome that, then it's considered that I'm overcoming my will to receive. That's how many do. Athletes, people at work, we do so with our children. We overcome our will to receive, as the importance of the goal is more important than my rest. There's no choice. Because there are greater desires, necessary ones, compared to spirituality, to necessities that are not so important right now. If we acquire the force to move according to not the calculation of inside my desire, but a calculation that is above my desire. Let's say I received a certain illumination that the Creator is important. And he becomes important to me. He becomes important to me just, let's say, like a manager at work. So I do all kinds of work for him because he's important in my eyes. In that, I have a very usual egoistic calculation. Is that considered the greatness of the Creator? Or how can we define what the true greatness of the Creator is, please? It's a question. If the Creator is great in my eyes and I work to bestow to him, is that called the greatness of the Creator, or is that egoistic Creator, greatness, just like my manager or at work or my baby, which I replaced this for that? Just no, it's the Creator that's great. Well, the Creator's great. Is that considered the greatness of the Creator? Please. So what is the greatness of the Creator, if so, that we talk about? Go ahead.
All right, so from the answer and the question, it's clear that it's not the greatness of the Creator that we need to come to, but it's the greatness of the Creator on our level. For many years, we live, we're powered by this. We hear from each other how great the Creator is, and he's bigger than you, and you run. And you have no choice, that's how it works. The next degree, what is the greatness of the Creator? Our friend will definitely answer.
I'm smaller than all of you. I don't know. It seems to me that the greatness of the Creator, the feeling that comes to me is by me serving him, that I'm bringing him contentment. And it's as after all that, I run of how to bring him contentment and not necessarily to come to a different state.
A person can lie to himself easily in his connection with the Creator, but we know that between the friends, you can't kind of worry about yourself, pity yourself, lie to yourself. You either think about the friends or you don't. You make an effort for them or you don't. You either have strength or you don't. Here, everything is very clear when you're talking about the work in the society. And for that reason, the true greatness of the Creator is the extent to which a person works for the sake of the friends, or at least how much he is stubborn, how much he asks against, he's stubborn against his own nature.
It's as if there's a state in its opposite. If a person works due to the greatness of the Creator, it's clear that it's egoistic. But he needs to work in order to be similar to the Creator, because he's great and bestowing and giving holy. But it's not because I have greatness, meaning I can't do this work if I don't have the greatness. So I do need the greatness of the Creator, but I don't work because he is great. I work because I want to be like him. It kind of reminds a little bit like Bina that wants to bestow completely. So what? Does it completely want to give? It doesn't have Chochmah in it. It's filled with Chochmah. That's why it can bestow. Meaning I need this greatness so that I can operate and work, but I don't work due to that.
First of all, I'm still hanging around after the Congress with this question in my head, and I wanted to ask Rob about this. But what's clear to me right now is truly, it's like a market. Like, how can I profit the most? But it's clear that we're going in a process of formulu lishma, you come to lishma. The fact that you're going into this process and you know at the end your ego is going to be cut off and you agree to it, it's something amazing that a person knows that at the end he'll be finished.
Rav, so what is considered the greatness of the Creator? It's not just greatness. One is greater than the other, bigger than the other. Once it's my work manager, the baby is greater, the Creator is greater. So let's say I heard from everyone, he's great, and I'm willing to do everything for him. Is that considered greatness?
Greatness.
Let's leave this. Okay. Well, what can you do? It's fine. It'll come. These are really not simple questions. These are questions that belong to truly spiritual discernments. And it's good that we're touching on it and kind of seeing that we don't yet have a grip in them. That's okay, that's a good discernment. Now another question. Let's say I went in faith above reason. Meaning with a certain force that I received from above, and I went against my ego and attained the revelation of the Creator. What should I do next? Now I know that if I will go in such a way, I'm going to be rewarded. Is it right or not? How do I follow up with this? I blocked the path for me. What should I do next? Now already above reason is close for me. It's egoistic. Yes or no? So what do we do? These are kind of nice questions, eh? Well, talk between you. You can invite the reforming light and understand this. I don't know about finding an answer, but nevertheless, well.
All right, let's unite to invoke the surrounding light, the light that reforms. I guess at this moment, what I feel is that it's like the system kind of will take care of it. I'm glad I came to some degree and where I overcame my knowledge. Then the system will come and increase my desire, and then I'll fall back within reason, and then I'll have to increase my overcoming again. This is the game. by which life works, by which the system works.
I think we need to scrutinize each time the degree of reason in order to rise above reason. First of all, we need to go into that state, to understand this, to see the resistances. We don't need to obscure it. In order to rise above reason, you have to first have the degree of reason, then you rise above it.
It's like there's a contradiction in the sentence that when I go with faith above reason and I attain the Creator, and then it's like I came to reason. So I have to return to above reason. The revelation is the sensation. This is how I understand it, that I came to knowledge of the Creator. And every time I have to overcome, I have to restart the process. At the end, we come to similarity in form, to bestow.
It's very moving, this sentence. I run to the friends and you go. I start working with it. I start seeing that I am not in equivalence of form with the Creator, and I have a simple life mission on the whole path through all the degrees. And that's my deficiency. That's the recognition that I'm falling to a state that I see that I'm far to come to that equivalence, and that's what draws me to Him each time.
Here, we also study this all the time, that the upper world is completely disconnected from the world below. It's a completely new world. It's not like, maybe from the process I have some knowledge, but what awaits me there above reason is completely dissonant from degree to degree.
The revelation of the Creator, I depicted as like a love for others and a love for the friends. It's like you're serving the purpose of creation. It's something that goes through you. Rav, maybe that's actually what needs to be. That which is above reason in the current degree is the reason in the higher degree. And maybe that's the difference between the degrees. Only that I don't yet know how I will rid myself from that knowledge that about in above reason I am rewarded, that it became to me as a coarseness, as an aviut. How do I rise above that? Meaning the masach that I need to receive now will be a special masach. Whereas, despite the fact that I attained above reason, the reason and revelation and everything, it does not bother me whatsoever to rise above reason in another degree, in the values of the next degree, which is completely impossible to compare to what was before. It's like still vegetative animals speaking. Well, we will continue to read and we'll come back to this.
We're reading on page 316, Kabbalah for the student, halfway through the page. Faith is called Malchut. Therefore, it is considered that he has degraded and blemished the faith. For now it is evident that to begin with, he had no choice and therefore took to faith, but otherwise he would not have taken it. And as soon as he sees that he can get rid of it, he promptly degrades it and throws it out and takes knowing in its stead. It's said about this, that I will honor those who honor me, and those who despise me will be disgraced. It is also written, the ways of the Lord are straight. The righteous walk in it, and the wicked fail in it. Accordingly, we can understand what we asked, since he has already been rewarded with Malchut. it is regarded as fear out of love. We asked, if he already has love, how can we still speak of fear? And how can we speak of fear when he has already been rewarded with love? According to the interpretation of Bala Sulam, who explained concerning the herdsmen of Abraham's cattle, we can easily understand this. He said that the herdsmen of Abraham's cattle means that Abraham was pasturing the faith. Mikne, cattle, comes from the word kinyan, possessions, meaning that all the possessions he has been rewarded with were pasturing his faith. That is, he said, now I see that the path of faith is the real path, because I was rewarded with nearing the Creator. For this reason, I take upon myself to go henceforth only by way of faith above reason. This was not so with the herdsman of Lot's cattle. He took the possessions he acquired into the discernment of Lot. The Holy Zohar calls Lot by the name of Land of the Curse, meaning that it is not a place of blessing, called a field that the Lord has blessed. Rather, it is a place of curse, which is within reason, meaning that he does what the mind mandates. However, when he began to walk on the path of the Creator, he also began with faith above reason. But he always waited for a time when he could be rid of this work of above reason. The body always demands some basis on which to base his exertion in Torah and Mitzvot. Since when the work is built on the intellect, and the intellect lets him understand that the work is worthwhile, the body makes great efforts and very persistently because the intellect compels it.
So what is considered a curse and what is called a blessing in our work? What is concerned where a person is in the degree of Lot or in the degree of Abraham? Please.
If a person goes according to the will to receive all the actions that he does, he gets it in category of greatness. That's his fuel, and he has no curse.
And then the blessing is that he goes above reason, connects to the group, to the environment, and gets the forces for them to make a step above his ego.
Yeah, it's pretty clear that Lot is looking within reason a lot of times, seeing what's happening within your kelim, that everything is fine there, that you understand and you're fulfilled and everything. And Abraham always checks the next state above reason. He's always looking for, he's not looking for anything except for that new degree, which is further above reason.
And here there's the Rav. Does Lot work in above reason? The Lot in a person and the Abraham that are in a person, whether Lot's work is that one is working in above reason or not. And if so, what's the difference between him and Abraham, who also works as far as above reason?
We truly have here that sophistication of the ego. That Lot essentially says, okay, fine, I'll go now above reason, but I'll wait for that moment when I'll be able to get rid of this work. So in the root, it's like he's waiting for knowledge. He's waiting for profiting from work. So he says, for now, I have no choice. I'll go above reason. And Abraham understands. He inherited this possession, which tells him that he can only go in faith above reason. He believes it, and he sees it as a true path.
Lot wants to go above reason in order to fill his will to receive, and Abraham wants to go above reason in order to bestow.
Yeah, you have this sentence of like blind drunk or curse drunk. But it's clear that's, of course, way above reason. So the opposite of the curse is bestowal, that wants to bestow to the Creator, and all of us want to reveal the Creator, including the Pharaoh and everybody. The question is, on the way, how do we want to do it? For that reason, it's called a blessing, because it's bestowal to the Creator without any reception.
Yes, Lot too is in some kind of revelation. He also doesn't want, he understands that he has to go above reason to reveal the Creator, but he wants to put that knowledge into his reason, meaning...
And this means that Abraham, the only thing that's important to him is to become similar, to come to similarity, to all the time bring his form closer to that degree of bestowal and not try to catch it and capture it for his kelim.
That's why it works out that Abraham is basically working in happiness, as the goal is important for him, and in order to bring contentment. And Lot, it works out that he's working and kind of suffers. He wants to rid himself from this work. He goes above reason, but with a certain resistance, because he wants to receive the reward in his kelim.
Well, it turns out that Abraham has fear. He does the same action as Lot, but when he performs this action, he does it from the fear. He's afraid that his action that he will do won't fall into the klipot. But Lot doesn't have that fear. It's open. He does everything above reason, and he has no... It'll fall into reason at the end.
In short, it's very surprising what's going on here, because how could a person go above reason if within reason he wants to receive? He really writes it that he also starts above reason, but he always expects, when can I rid myself from that work of above reason? It's like, you can go above reason still with the intention in order to receive and to reveal the Creator. We're both going to win. You understand? Rav, maybe you should read this passage again. According to the interpretation of Baal HaSulam,
according to the interpretation of my father and teacher, who explained concerning the herdsmen of Abraham's cattle, we can easily understand this. He said that the herdsmen of Abraham's cattle meant that Abraham was herding the faith, or pasturing. Mikneh, cattle, comes from the word kinyan, possessions, meaning that all the possessions that he had been rewarded with were herding his faith, pasturing.
As he wants to constantly grow this. What does he see? What is a herdsman? That's a person who is concerned with having fruit from his work. So he just wanted faith. Nothing except for that reward.
That is, he said, now I see that the path of faith is the real path, because I was rewarded with nearing the Creator. For this reason, I take upon myself to go henceforth only by the way of faith above reason. And this was not so with the herdsmen of Lot's cattle.
Well, that's what the question was about. Meaning, what does he say? Since I have merited the closeness of the Creator, the nearing of the Creator, for this reason I take upon myself to henceforth go only by the way of faith above reason. Meaning he has some kind of proof now, and we'll talk about this, but note this.
This was not so with the herdsmen of Lot's cattle. He took the possessions he acquired into the discernment of Lot. The Holy Zohar calls Lot by the name of land of the curse, meaning that it is not a place of blessing.
Eretz is Ratzon, is desire. Land is desire. And it's a desire that a curse is revealed into it instead of a blessing.
And it is not a place of blessing called a field that the Lord has blessed. Rather, it is a place of curse, which is within reason, meaning that he does what the mind mandates. However, when he began to walk on the path of the Creator, he also began with faith above reason. But he always waited for a time when he could be rid of this work of above reason. The body always demands some basis on which to base his exertion in Torah and Mitzvot. Torah and Mitzvot, since when the work is built on the intellect, and the intellect lets him understand that the work is worthwhile, the body makes great efforts and very persistently because the intellect compels it. For example, a person went to bed at midnight. He was very tired, with fever, and is forbidden to get out of bed because he's shivering. But a fire breaks out in nearby rooms, and he is told to quickly get out of bed because soon he won't be able to get out of the house and he might burn. At that time, the intellect mandates, without any doubt, if he regards the situation, that it is inconvenient for him to get out of bed for several reasons, then he might burn. Surely, he jumps out of bed without any arguments, because the basis on which he has to exert the intellect mandates its profitability. Therefore, he is certain to make every effort. It follows that where the intellect binds the effort, one does not regard the effort, but only the profit, meaning what one can obtain through the reward. However, when working above reason, one is always under the body's pressure, which is asking, what makes you certain that you're on the right path? Is the effort you are making in order to achieve the goal really worthwhile? Is this even doable? Can you achieve the goal you're seeking? Therefore, he is always going through ups and downs, where once the intellect prevails, and once above reason prevails. He always thinks, when will I be able to establish my work within reason and have a sound basis, since I will be able to build everything on the intellect? Surely at that time, I will not have any dissents in the work of the Creator, as is with everything that is built on common sense. However, he does not know what he hopes to attain will not give him a blessing, but a curse, since within reason is the place of the grip of the Sitra Achra, and the Creator has chosen that those who want to achieve Dvekut with the Creator, specifically above reason, is the real way to approach the Creator. This is the degree of Lot, the cursed land, a land where there is a curse and not a blessing. This is called the herdsmen of Lot's cattle, who are always searching for possessions within reason, called Lot, meaning a curse. This is the meaning of the verse, and there was a quarrel between the herdsmen of Abram's cattle and the herdsmen of Lot's cattle.
Inside a person, yes? So what's that? Explain it, please. What is that a person feels inside him? That quarrel. Go ahead.
Every time I'm amazed anew how this wisdom that speaks about two forces, but so many clarifications and discernments between them, and they have this argument between the quarrel with the mitnagdim and the other side. And this is our mission to bring peace between these two arguing sides. It's just incredible.
It sounds like an inner struggle over the intention, whether I'm doing it for the benefit of the Creator and bringing Him contentment, or for the others, or do I want it for the sake of myself or my advancement?
This is great because it's like the next degree. A person already understands that he needs to work above reason. This is the only way to come to the goal. And now, like Gershon said, The question is, why does he do this above reason? He does this in order to come to revelation of the Creator, some self-possession, or he does it for the sake of faith. For the possessions of Abraham.
I don't know. Many thoughts are kind of complicating things, and I think that practically, for the state right now, am I thinking about myself or am I thinking about my friends?
Yeah, that's the point where a person is in such a interesting state that he feels just as a rag. He has no strength. He needs the friends. He needs the group. He needs the Creator to allow him to choose the right action, that goes to give him reason and strength to go above reason. Everything is done through the group.
No, we're just calling it the herdsman of Abraham or of Lot. That Lot that's telling you, give me some greatness of the Creator inside the reason. Let my mind understand that it's the right thing to do, and I'll go for that. I'll go with all my might. What's the problem? I'll go for bestowal, the greatness of the Creator, faith, whatever's needed. And he's kind of saying correctly as far as we're concerned. On the other hand, Abraham says, listen, leave it. There's the matter of concealment. That's how the Creator did it. It probably needs to be that way. That's what I need to be with. Let's just go all the time in concealment. And it's like all the time those two sides in a person that you're more connected to Lot, so you want to understand all the time.
And for that reason, we have the work in the group, always at our disposal, that gives us the ability to overcome above reason. It's an indication for us that we are working, when we're working with a society, with a group. It's an indicator for us that when we work with a group, reason is against unity and every idea, and it gives us a place to see that we're going in the direction of faith above reason.
I'll share with you, all of a sudden I'm seeing that there's like the story of the present and future. It's like you understand that in the present you have no choice. You have to work above reason. The will to receive lost its grip on what we're doing right now. And all of a sudden there's the future. Because the will to receive can tell itself, oh, I'll give up right now, but in the future I'll get a reward. That's Lot. And here Abraham, also the future, he's saying no. Even in the future, you won't grow anything, reveal anything. It's like there's stages of subjugation for the will to receive over that action. We lost hope. It needs to be above reason. Now the question is how the future state will be.
I suddenly catch myself with such greatness of Rabash from this article, and I'm just enjoying the greatness of the friends and what's happening here, and what is this thing? Why is it happening? It's happening for me. Again, you need to direct it to the right place. We are continuing the text, page 318. And this is the decree of Lot, and this is called the herdsman. And this is what the meaning of the verse, and there was a quarrel between the herdsman of Abram's cattle and the herdsman of Lot's cattle. That is the quarrel that each one said was right. Those who were in the state of the herdsman of Lot's cattle were saying, if we can build our basis on the intellect called within reason, we will not have ups and downs because we will always be in a state of ascent. This is so because where the intellect obligates doing the actions, that there is no one to interrupt them. Therefore, when we have no choice, we must go above reason. But when we can choose to go within reason, it is to the contrary. We must say that there is contentment above, in that from this day forth, we will have no dissents in the work. Therefore, our way is certainly better.
In bringing contentment endlessly in a constant way to the Creator, if I want, then of course, within reason is for sure it's good, and I'm given this opportunity. to go with on reason and nice and good, and also above reason as I go. I acquire more within reason, and that's how I advance. Why is that not good? Well, let's continue.
But the herdsmen of Abram's cattle are basis, are people whose basis was precisely on faith above reason. They said, if the Creator wanted us to work on the basis of the intellect, He would not be concealed from us to begin with. Rather, this must be the best way. Therefore, we need not look for opportunities to be rid of faith above reason. Rather, if we receive some intellect and nearing to the Creator, we will not take it as a basis for casting away faith, but instead to say, now I see that this is the real way, because by this I was rewarded with nearing Him.
So how does it seemingly enter the reason? I'm already in the state of proof, not in faith.
Well, therefore, he should brace himself and accept that henceforth he will not search for opportunities to be rid of the faith, but on the contrary, grow stronger with faith above reason.
Meaning each time he goes and attains in faith above reason, a result, it enters into his reason, and he has to overcome it. Mm-hmm.
By this we will understand the words of the Holy Zohar, that once he was rewarded with Malchut herself, which is love, being fear out of love, we asked, how can you speak of fear if there is already love there? And also, what is fear?
Meaning, how could it be that after love specifically, fear will come? Fear in order to come to love, I understand. Yes, I'm in fear, anxiety, maybe I won't have the love of the Creator, maybe I won't be able to bring Him contentment, and so on. But after I've come to love, and we are truly in revealed love, where is there room for fear here? Fear points to the fact that I maybe don't love so much, that there's still a certain lack in the kilim. In what kilim am I afraid if it's all kilim of love? Okay? Well, okay, let's continue.
By this we will understand the words of the...
It's not that I chose this article. It's your friend, yes? Just, by the way.
And by this we will understand the words of the Holy Zohar, that once he was rewarded with Malchut herself, which is love, being fear out of love. We asked, how can you speak of fear if there's already love there? And what is fear? According to the above said, it turns out that once he was rewarded with love, there's nothing greater that mandates the work, because it is a basis within reason. For now the intellect mandates the work for him. This is so because naturally we want to serve the one we love. Therefore, there is no more room for faith, because at that time, how can we speak of faith above reason? Therefore, he is afraid that he might blemish the faith, because now the body will enjoy the work more, since he has a basis of within reason. And if he blemishes faith, then it becomes revealed that the faith above reason that he had had was out of necessity to begin with, not out of respect, but that he constantly learned, longed for a time when he could be rid of it and work with knowledge instead of faith. Then, because he has blemished faith, he promptly falls from his degree and soon parts from the Creator, since knowing is receiving. It is known that we understand receiving, which is self-love, in two ways, with the mind and with the heart. It turns out that when he has been rewarded with love, the love itself causes him fear. He is afraid that he will not be drawn to knowledge. Therefore, at that time, he needs great care that he will not fall into the will to receive. At that time, we understand that love itself causes the fear. Now we already know what fear is, which love causes, meaning that he is afraid that through this love, he will fall into self-love. With this, we can understand the great rule that Bala Sulam said, that although it makes sense that sin induces punishment, in the internality, it's a very different meaning, which is a little difficult to grasp. He said that we must know that the sin is the punishment, and the punishment is already the correction. We should ask about this. If the sin is the punishment, what is the sin? Through the above said, we can interpret that the sin was actually during the ascent, that precisely when he was rewarded with love, he had a desire to take love as the basis and cast away the faith, as is the view of the herdsman of Lot's cattle. At that time, he suffered a descent and fell once again into self-love, from which every kind of sin is derived. It follows that he failed precisely during the ascent, when he thought that by taking love as a basis and support on which to exert, and thought that by this he would not have any more descents, since where the intellect mandates is a healthy path, and he will never fall, and this was the actual sin. And this is called all who add, subtract. It follows that his fall into self-love is the punishment for flawing the faith, and the punishment he has received is a correction, so he will rise once more on the degree of the straight path.
So it's a very simple question. Can we ascend onwards and onwards and onwards without falling? And if so, how? Gershon, why are you looking at me like that? As if I owe you something? You kind of... Well, go ahead. With happiness and... with confidence out of the Arvut.
Of course not. It's impossible to fall, because automatically that's what we get now, the inspiration, everything, the awakening we get from within reason. So how can you get anything from above reason? I don't know how to do it.
The fall is actually the ability to build a correction, like he wrote here.
A person comes to a hospital and he's there for a month. So what happens in that month? All the time stuff is happening. They're putting stuff in him, taking stuff out, otherwise he wouldn't be in the hospital. All the time we're in the hospital, most of it is descents and it's work. And every time we come to a state where that we'll need to correct. In the middle you have these interesting events, and that's what you have to work.
And why shouldn't there be a constant ascent, really? I'm already above reason, and I want to remain in it. So I see something that I discovered, but that's not what's important to me. What's important for me is to be above reason. Why can't that just happen?
The whole thing, all the definitions of descent, revelation and greatness of the Creator above reason, we have like a restart after the Congress. So what is a descent? Maybe there is no such thing. What, that I feel my weakness in my will to receive, is that a descent? No. It it bounces me all the time to faith above reason. And although I get the greatness of the Creator and I'm in faith, maybe it's harder to get there. So if we work in the ten correctly and everybody holds above reason and somebody else falls, then he adds to him and the ten rises.
I think he actually wants to fall to acquire the new deficiency, the new coarseness. It's not really a fall. It's to awaken the left a little, the new avyut, and then from that, to shorten it as much as possible, to gather that deficiency and correct it in a higher degree.
To fall, the meaning is that we awaken the dawn, the beginning of the next degree. This is always its darkness. If we come from desire, we come from our own will, from our own work, and we don't await for the descents to come from above.
Maybe it is possible with the right preparation. Maybe it's possible that love that is revealed and what's revealed between us, we won't take it for self-love. It could be that if we prepare ourselves in the right way, we can in some way rise without falling.
Yeah, and preparation is, it's preparation, it's advancement. With your two legs, you're advancing forward toward the degree. You're not looking, oh, the left is too far ahead or the right. The main thing is the advancement towards faith. So it doesn't really matter if you have a sense or dissense, but only the means, the manner of advancement dictates this.
So if I'm in an ascent now, then we need somehow to do something outwards, outside to the ten, maybe to the world, meaning to use this energy so it won't enter my knowledge, but move it onwards. Maybe that's something that can prevent this matter of these falls or these sins that as they're written here.
We need to be aware of the truth that there's always this fear of the next fall. Although we're not built for it, we need to undergo it. Nobody wants to reveal the evil that's in him. But things happen, and we're working with it. There's nothing to do. The most important thing for us inside the ten to go in and to hold on and to see that there's none else besides him.
Rav, how can we replace our attitudes towards being feeling now in states of ascents and descents? That's how we call them. And for us to truly replace their definitions to the opposite. So wherever the reward is, that's the punishment. And wherever the reward is, the punishment is, that's the reward. And the ascents are not necessarily, and disconnection is not necessarily the punishment. Maybe it's the reward. For how can a person attain something if a new desire is not revealed in him, a greater coarseness? So we accept this new avyut. That's truly the work of the Creator, just as it's written. I've created the evil inclination. How do we replace or change our attitude towards these states in such a way that we're truly happy in going in darkness? Even if I shall go in the valley of death, I will not be fearful because you're with me. How do we do this?
First of all, the light does this. And the arvut that's between us holds us in this attitude towards the states. Moti described earlier how a person is afraid of descents coming. And I actually think that with time, it turns out, you kind of realize that these are the states. This is them. It's there. That's it. Suddenly there a new degree is revealed, and you can make another movement towards above reason. But here, it's truly the light that's allowing us after all these falls into reception, to feel that those are the ones that are advancing you and bring you closer to work.
It seems like that which prevents it from being or deciding whether it's in ascent or descent is importance. What's important to me in general in life? If what I feel right now is important to me, or I received or didn't receive, or the greatness of the goal is important to me, according to the greatness of the goal, I choose whether it's in ascent or descent.
Yes, and the will to receive, it's very difficult to change these concepts. The will to receive always wants fulfillment, and he suffers from a sensation of deficiency. Only if he can see the bestowal also, but that's also in the will to receive. That there, in that deficiency, he can feel that he enjoys revealing the deficiency and not just the fulfillment.
On the other hand, if you already feel good, then you feel discomfort because we know where the work is. But the sentence that Rav defined, which is something I really love, as even if I shall go in the valley of death, I will not be fearful because you are with me. But that you are with me, we need to hold on to feel that that's where you are with him and hold on to the friends.
Just to play with all your forces, that cry that brings the light and brings the change.
Even if I shall go in the valley of death, I shall not be fear. We need to have the revelation of the Creator. We need to know that being in reason is not good either. So what is the greatness of the Creator above reason? Because we need the greatness of friends. Just we receive it from the friends. The light operates and... But where's the greatness of the Creator, if not within reason? Where do we find it?
It's very, very clear that we have no idea what is this energy that holds us. However, we want to grab it and manipulate it in our minds. You always come to the zero that you have no idea what's holding you there. And then you jump into that void, and you fall into the hands of the friends. This is the cry that Danny talked about.
That's why Lot says correctly, give me a basis where I'll be able to see it within reason, within my mind, so I'll be able to work. And when you say, now wait, I'll do those work in above reason, you have... Where's that step? You're missing something, you're losing something. Where do we do this?
How can we change our state, our feeling towards ascents and descents? How do we change our relationship to them such that we're happy to walk in the dark? We just go together. We were on a trip, families. We went into some forest in the dark. It was like the darkness of Egypt. There was no way you can go by yourself without falling, without being afraid, but all of us are together, and still it was dark. But there was great joy that we're walking together and we're in this adventure. I just remember this. Just walk together.
We're always torn. It's called the parting of the Red Sea. It depends on what we identify with, how we do this, what should we identify with. We know that the will to receive is mistaking us all the time. The problem is that they're both right, those two forces. Rav, what is nevertheless above reason and within reason? What is it? How do I define that it's above reason and this is within reason?
What is within reason, I simply evaluate in my mind. Will this be good for me, bad for me? Above reason is disconnected from this. It's like somebody from the outside decides we're doing. And I agree. I agree to the definition and the consequence, the outcome being somewhere else. And here, it's not against my reason. My reason is annulled here. It's just irrelevant at this point. The external reason comes from the group or the friends.
I think a certain manner of what's within reason kind of sharpened a little bit, and I grasped it a little bit, that I'm willing to work above reason. I'm willing to work in bestowal for the creator, for the group, and everything. It's just kind of like, let there be some kind of basis that I'm willing. But it's all clear to me, the actions, the path, it all works out within my mind, and I'm willing. I'm putting my life on that. You know, there's you say, I'm willing, I'll put my life. And that's how it is. That's kind of Lot that does it. But above reason is to tell you I don't have 1% of an idea of what that picture is. And Rav says, that's the step we need to do. Where? I don't know. Darkness.
Maybe in short, it seems to me suddenly that above reason, its beginning, that moment and that grip of it, is to identify the opposer, the opposition to love of friends, to identify it and to overcome it. That's the beginning.
Maybe the discernment here is who gets the pleasure. Meaning Kabbalists tell us that the true spiritual path is outside of myself. So maybe if I discern that there's a part that wants the pleasure for himself in its bottom line, it says that I'm not in the right direction. So I really need to examine where I am, what's the goal towards which I stand. Do I truly want to go and ask and pray for the quality of bestowal? Then I can examine my goal of where I want to receive the pleasure. For my benefit or for his benefit? Or for the benefit of the friends?
I'm in one of these moments when Tas is suddenly so much more clear than what we're talking about, because it's like trying to smell shadows. It's like you're taking something from above and you have no ability to even come close to it, to understand it, to grip it.
It's like the deficiency is not yours, and the ability to carry it out is not yours, and the forces are not yours. And it's like there's nothing. Rav, where, in what place do we discern above reason and within reason? Ascents, descents, and the middle, scrutinies as far as myself, the group, the creator. Where is that division to Abraham and Lot within a person?
Danny said within the 10 that it's more from within the 10 because it's more sure. I just don't know what this above reason is. It's like I completely agree with what was said earlier, just to connect that, to realize that there's no grip in 1% of what is above reason. It remains that the only thing that you have is within reason, and the clarifications that we can do within reason are the only ones we have.
Maybe the difference is in the fear, the trepidation that, in one way or another, I'm going to do an action of above reason, but am I afraid that maybe I'll cause some kind of damage with it, if it's a true action or not? If I'm not moved by some, meaning what's driving me, what's that concealed moving factor here? There's a certain fear that I might harm it.
Well, we're talking about this agent that's sitting there and thinking, let's say we have that agent that does the work, that does the calculation. So that calculation needs to end with me just wanting the effort, just the bestowal, let's say, for argument's sake. I don't want any reward. Their light will do something, so I won't want the reward. It'll just allow me to bestow, and that's it. That's all I want. And not to be fulfilled by this and reveal the Creator from bestowing. Just let me bestow.
And that tradesman says, I want to be a man, not a child. He always wants the reward. The algorithm always brings a demand for the light. You have no way to escape it. It's the first page in Shamati.
There we all know how many states we undergo, how often it happens to me that I want to just go and invest. I have a plan to invest in my tent. I'm going to do this and do that. And there's so much resistance when it finally comes to that. It's unbelievable. It's imperceivable, inconceivable. But it's something that you're always connected to, above reason. I don't know, I think it's like an Atzilut or something to have that degree. Maybe to think, to always imagine the friends that are in the corrected state, like Yossi Ben Kizma. Maybe it'll help.
Rav, so how in us does the reward and punishment get replaced? The correction and the corruption, revelation and concealment. How does it switch in us during our spiritual development? This for that. Please. Whoever answers it correctly will then receive lunch. Well, go ahead, Gershon. Oh, him. Okay.
All right. Question is, what is reward and punishment?
The question is not what is reward and what is punishment, but how do we, during our work, replace question and punishment and reward, and reward with punishment, concealment and revelation, and back and forth. How does that all change? How do all those concepts, those definitions, change in our work?
It comes out from what we now felt, that it's better to be in concealment. That's more clear, it's more for sure. It's, in the work that we do.
What does he explain to us here about the sin and the punishment? So is the sin the punishment or the reward?
What is that? Tikkun? No.
The punishment is the correction? Well, and the sin?
Read it again.
Read it again.
Where is this?
Where is it? And with that, we'll be able to understand the interpretation of Baal Sulam, who explained concerning, though there is a sin that comes for a punishment, but in eternality, it's understood completely differently. It's a little hard to understand. And he said that we need to know that the sin is the punishment. And the punishment is already the correction. I didn't understand. If the sin is the punishment, and the punishment is the correction, then the sin is the correction. Is it not right, or is it? And we should ask about that. If the sin is the punishment, then what is the sin? And in that we will be able to explain that the sin was during the time of the ascent, whereas at a time where he merited the aspect of love, he had the will to receive love as a base. And he, through the faith, just as the herdsman of Lot, and then he received a matter of a descent, and he fell to self-love again, from which all sorts of sins are extended. It's found that he fails specifically at the time of the ascent, when he thought that, hey, by receiving the matter of love to a base and support of what to give the effort for. And above this, he won't have the sense ready. And in the place that the mind obligates, this is the way of creation, and he'll never fall. And this was truly a sin. But why? He didn't want to descend or to fall. He wanted to move onwards and to be in an ascent all the time. In ascent where he goes and bestows and bestows. What's the problem? Why is it considered that he's sinning? And this is called anyone who adds is actually diminishing. What? By adding, he's causing a lack from it. So it's found that because he fell to self-love, that's the punishment for blemishing the manner of faith. And the punishment he receives is correction, to return, to ascend on the degree of the straight and narrow path. So here comes the question. What is it considered that each who adds is actually taking away from it?
Again, that he adds within reason. He wants us to be the base. Even the base of love and bestowal, where he wants to be similar to the Creator, he wants the basis of that to be within reason. So every time that he adds to faith of a reason, still within reason. That's why it subtracts. It takes away.
That the base is love, and then it depends. Either on self-love or in the love of the Creator. It's a little confusing, and then they say that we have to always choose on the way of faith and not as love as a base, but to go with faith as a base. I didn't understand what I said, but somehow that's something that's close to what's written.
Maybe the matter of the adding itself is something that comes within desire. And if it comes from within the desire, it's the desire that's not fulfilled, that it's missing from, that needs to add something. If I add to this, then I somehow flaw it, which subtracts from it, because it's within the will to receive.
Actually, any moment that I'm trying to get support from something that's within reason in me, even if it's love and bestowal and so on, then I'm detracting, actually. I am meaning that addition in love, seemingly, and bestowal is actually taking away from it.
There's that thing that every action, even actions of bestowal and everything, everything is consumed by the Sitra Achra. But at the end, you know, it swallowed and regurgitated. So there's nothing to worry about. We just need to continue like Lot. And everything will turn this work. It was for the will to receive, but we have no other way to advance. And then it inverts.
I remember in the blessing of Friday night in my father's home, when he would fill the glass of wine, he always pour more, and it's like it's spilling. He says, no, it's a must. You have to fill it more. And really, there's that state where wine is the light of Chochmah, and you need to fill it above the cup so a little will drip out. And in my eyes as a child, it always appeared as, it's bad, don't add, it makes it worse. I don't know. To love you, too much is never enough, there's that saying.
No, everyone, the adding, all who add subtract, it gives you more screen for work. So why does it subtract? Why does it take away? It gives you a basis to advance. And I don't.
He says that by receiving the love as a base and support, for what to give the effort for. I mean, the fact that he says that my labor, my effort should be filled with love. Meaning, if I feel that the Creator loves me and gives me, then that is where I'll give my efforts upon. And if not, I won't give effort. And that they say, don't add that love of reception. But the effort is the matter of love, of faith.
La 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 la